Hi, friends. Welcome back, listeners, to another, I would say, soul-stirring episode. I'm your host, Jessica Stong, and today I'm deeply grateful for you as you join me on this transformative journey as we talk about our emotions. Really, this concept of feeling it to healing it and the four paths you can take when emotions surface. So we're going to dive into this topic that for many is confusing. Yes, it's fundamental to our human experience, but as we dive into and get into, there are various options that come up. We've been trained in specific ways to respond to our emotions. For so many of us, especially women, we're not allowed to have our emotional experiences. We don't want to be considered an emotional woman, an emotional leader. We want to keep it all together. People can't handle our emotions. We're going to dig into what happens when you have feelings. Are all feelings valid? For me, oh, friends, I know that there are certain feelings that I feel safe to have. And that others, because I'm an Enneagram 7, I just don't care for. It's a complex landscape for all of us. Emotions can feel like these mysterious, uncharted territories ready to engulf us without warning. I truly believe that. Or like if you feel a bit of sadness, you're afraid you're just going to fall off the cliff into that deep well of sadness. But what if I told you, as you have heard me say before, that emotions are actually messengers, signaling something deeper within us that needs our attention, understanding, and even healing? I'm going to find this quote by Carl Jung because you know I make up his quotes often. Can't find it, but I will find it for you and put it in the show notes because Carl talks about really this idea of our emotions or depression as someone who needs to come and settle in and we need to listen to. And what happens when we start listening to our emotions? And what does that look like? And what does that feel like? Carl does say, we cannot change anything until we accept it. Condemnation does not liberate, it oppresses. So we're going to really dig into this idea of we've got to feel it to heal it. And this truly for me encapsulates, that's a hard word for me to say, the profound wisdom that to truly understand and heal from our experiences, we need to understand our emotions and be fully willing to accept them, embrace them, and feel them. And I want to be clear here that hearing a mantra, understanding it cognitively, is very different than applying it in real life. It's almost as if every time we have an emotion, we stand at a crossroads. When that intensity surfaces and we get to make a choice, it's that intersection. And we find ourselves down four paths. We can distract ourselves. We can shut down the emotion. We can overreact, or we can choose to simply feel the feeling. And that is our quickest, not the easiest, obviously, but that is the power. That's the power. So we're going to walk down these four paths, and I'm going to talk to you about them, what they feel like. We're going to explore what it looks like in the short term and the long-term outcomes for each, and how we can better equip ourselves to choose the path of authentic feeling more often. So grab a comfy seat, maybe a notebook. Maybe you're listening and you want to just remember things. Let's dig deeper into understanding our emotional selves better. Here we go. Okay, let's just get started. We're driving down the road and our first path is distraction. And let's be clear here, friends, this is my favorite path. It's a path that many of us know so well and so acquainted with it. The lure of distraction is always right in front of us. in a world where entertainment is literally on our hands at all times, it's almost too easy for us to divert our attention from what's bothering us. So let's say a difficult emotion comes up for you. It rears its head. For me, it's usually anger or anxiety, or it might be loneliness or sadness. And we reach for our phone, the remote control, or a snack, some wine, and suddenly we find ourselves. I'm going to use my example of going to YouTube or Netflix. That's what I did, was Netflix or Prime Video over and over again. And suddenly you're so engrossed in the TV show Taskmaster, my favorite TV show. So it's like this, you can say, oh, I'm just doing this for self-care, where you're scrolling through an endless feed of social media posts, which doesn't even help. You're eating away. And we found this magical escape hatch, this way to sidestep the discomfort. We're on that road, right? But here's the catch. Imagine your emotional pain is a nagging notification on your phone. You can swipe it away, but unless you deal with the issue at hand, that notification keeps popping back up, often more and more and more. And that's what distraction does. It's like swiping away the notification without addressing the app that's sending it. So the question becomes, are you merely postponing the inevitable? My answer is most always yes. And distraction can have a cumulative effect, right? The more we dodge our emotions, the more they pile up in the background. Like unread emails in our inbox, and don't even ask me how many I have of those. They don't just disappear. They accumulate and eventually become so overwhelming that we can't even deal with them. And we're just one difficult emotion away from that tangled web of like 1,000 different emotions that were never processed. And so, yes, distraction offers a brief respite, and it's something that we need sometimes to then be able to go back and deal with the emotion, but it leads to that emotional clutter. It's like pushing our worries under the rug. Eventually, that rug gets so lumpy that you can't even walk on it, right? And if you find yourself in this pattern of distraction, please hear me with any of these routes that you choose. You are not alone. So please don't be hard on yourself. We've all been there, and we find ourselves there again and again because we all have these habitual ways of dealing with our emotions based on our childhood, the messages from trauma, whatever it might be for you. We've been habituated into various ways of responding. And mine was to distract and shut it down. Emotions weren't acceptable, and they were often seen as I was like not worthy. That's all, everything comes back to like, I'm a failure, right? That's my schema. That's the script that I run. And so I want you to not be hard on yourself. The first step to change is awareness. And that's what we're going to get into today. You're going to join me next week, and we're going to talk about how to feel your feelings. Otherwise, we'd be here for 17 hours. So I just wanted to get you understanding that this is going to take a while. And if distraction is your go-to, let's dig into that. And really, the work in emotion coaching is, why is that? What script is running in the background? But this week, we're just working on identifying which path we choose. So the second route is shutting it down. Woo! This is one of my favorite approaches. It's like the emotional equivalent of locking it away. It never happened. Everything is fine. You think about the way that I dealt with my assault. I didn't tell a soul. I pretended as if it didn't happen. So if I could just shut down the feelings associated with it and pretend like it's gone, that my favorite is, I lock it in a vault. And then what vault? I don't even know. Was there a vault here? On the surface, it seems like a very effective strategy. If you can't see the problem, then it's gone. right? This is how I've operated for so long. But here's the nuanced reality, sweet friends. Emotions are like water flowing in a river. And the suppression of those emotions is like building a dam. And what may seem successful, like we've halted the flow, what we're doing is blocking it up and accumulating emotional pressure behind that barrier. You're not eliminating the water. You're merely, for a short time, containing it, often under increasing pressure. And so this shut it down approach is seductive to me because it offers, I believe, the quickest fix. A fake fix, obviously, it's a way to immediately silence emotional discomfort. And that silence is often short-lived, just like the water that eventually overflows in a dam. Suppressed emotions have a way of bursting forth at some of the most inopportune moments when we least expect it. And so when that happens, the emotional fallout is great. And we'll say we didn't see it coming, and yet. And in these chaotic and damaging moments, if we had simply addressed the feelings in the first place, often we don't know how. So again, there is no condemnation. There is no judgment. I hope you can hear that in my voice as you're listening to this. And here's the deal with suppression. It robs us of emotional intelligence. By continually locking away our emotions, we no longer have access to that deep, just intelligent, beautiful, instructive well within us. We miss out on those valuable insights that they offer. We don't understand that emotions are not just random bursts of these random feelings. I use random twice there. I understand that. They're complex psychological signals designed to give us information, to guide us, to warn us, to help us see, to inform us. And when we shut them down, we're essentially ignoring our internal GPS that helps us understand and grow and know. So if you, like me, sweet friends, find yourself in the habit of suppressing emotions, remember that yes, I see you. It offers temporary respite. Might be for 10 years and you're miserable for those 10 years, but the long-term consequences are detrimental. So if this is you, I encourage you to find an emotion coach, to find a spiritual director, to find a therapist. Your emotions, even the painful ones, have something to teach you. Oof. And as we consider exploring other paths, consider whether shutting it down is genuinely serving you. Because I can tell you, friends, I thought it was serving me for so long. I thought it was the path forward. But what if it's time to take a more courageous route towards emotional well-being? Okay, now we're on the third one. And you know, I've said at each turn, oh, this is my favorite path of emotions. And sometimes within my own family, like my family unit, my children and my husband, I have a different pattern reaction. So it's so interesting that you can choose a different path based on who you're with, how safe you feel, and all of those things, because our emotions need to be felt and seen. And so overreaction is the third route. Oh, I love this one. And I always say this, it's like the angry cleaning. So you're feeling like anger, annoyance, feeling lonely because no one's helping. And so you're going to overreact to those feelings by angry cleaning. I love it. I do this all the time. So lest you think that I am laughing with myself. Overreaction is the emotional equivalent of using like a sledgehammer to kill a fly. The issue is that you're not really, you are not unaware of your emotions. But you almost are. You're amplifying them to a level that's out of proportion to the actual situation at hand. So you can't just feel your feelings. You're going to overreact to them. And it can give the illusion of emotional engagement, right? Like you can, people think I'm not suppressing, I'm not distracting, I'm feeling these feelings. But in reality, you're taking your feelings out on others and making others responsible for those feelings versus feeling them and owning them yourself. So we're not actually, when we're overreacting, we're not pushing our emotions away, we're distorting them. You're taking a genuine emotional response and inflating it so much that it loses its information value, its informative value. And so we aren't able to process and learn from the emotion. We just end up being consumed by the overreaction to it. And I don't need to say anything else really, you know, it's like trying to read a map in a storm. Like you have the map out, it's the storm's hitting you. It's hailing, right? I just added that in because that's fun. It's hailing, your map's disintegrating. The emotional disturbances or turbulence obscures the rational markers that could guide us to a better emotional experience or a better emotional place. So if you find yourself frequently overreacting, we get to see this as like a red flag, just like all of the other options. It's often a sign that we're uncomfortable with just feeling the feeling. It's often a sign for me that I am uncomfortable with just feeling the feeling. And so we amplify as a defense mechanism. As we do this, we lose the connection to ourselves and to others. And we make others responsible for how we feel versus just dealing with it. As we're exploring this, so we've heard the three paths that you could take. Could your tendency to overreact be a misguided attempt to deal with uncomfortable emotions? And might there be a more nuanced, constructive way to feel your feelings? And then, sweet friends, we come to option four, which is just feeling the feelings. And I feel like I need to sit down for this, but I'm already standing and no one needs to hear my desk go, but confronting painful emotions is the bravest undertaking. We think that courage is like these big acts of like, I'm going to save someone and it's going to be great. And it's these things. It's the hardest undertaking to get clear about. These emotions that often stem from experiences like trauma, loss, rejection, abandonment, failure, left unaddressed, these emotional wounds evolve into these different paths. And Carl Jung would say neuroses. He said neuroses is always a substitute for legitimate suffering. And so the suffering we experience and the emotional turmoil we experience has legitimate roots, right? Valid roots, be it physical or emotional harm, parental experiences, business failures, spousal rejection. I want you to think about all the small T's and big T's that happen to us. But when we choose to obscure our emotional path through various means, like shutting it down, distracting, addiction, denial, anger, emotional detachment, we stall our growth. And we stall our path forward. And we really just get stuck and don't grow. We harm our emotional well-being. And so choosing to face these things head on, choosing the path of feeling your feelings, is super hard. I wish I could say like, oh, it's super simple. Yes, it's a 5-step process, but that doesn't mean it's easy. This can be one of the bravest acts we undertake in our lives. And so the path less traveled, but arguably the most rewarding and the most helpful, is to feel the feeling. And we're going to go through the 5 steps in the next podcast. So, because I know I would be here for 7 hours, but this is the cornerstone for emotional health, for emotional well-being. And is really, this is our guiding mantra for today. I'm going to feel it to heal it. Now, I don't believe we have to feel it alone, that we can feel it in the presence of a God who's like, I got you. And I know you're feeling that. And you don't need to pretend that you're feeling it. I also think we choose shutting it down, distraction, because we've received messages from our religion that it's not okay to feel things like anger and all the things, that we should only feel good things. And that's not the case, but that's not why we're here today. So when you choose to feel the feeling, you're doing more than just acknowledging it. You're inviting them in. You're sitting down with them, asking them, what are you here to tell me? Like, you need to sit down, emotion. You're recognizing that the path of wholeness, the path requires mindfulness, emotional presence, and in this we find healing and growth. And so choosing to feel the feeling is like being that attentive host to your own internal world. If you're too busy, if you're moving too fast, I'm speaking to myself. If you're like, this is what happens when we no longer have the time, the space, the awareness to do the work. We don't allow our emotions the space they need, or that we need, to express ourselves, to listen without judgment, to realize each emotion is a messenger with valuable information about our needs, our boundaries, our deeper desires, the thing that makes us, the thing that guides us. And what makes each path so powerful is that it allows for self-discovery. So let's say you, over this week, you're starting to notice what you do. That's what we're going to do this week. Emotions are data points, markers that guide us towards understanding ourselves. So we're going to notice, we're going to have our emotion, and then we're going to see, do we shut it down? Do we distract? Do we overreact to it? Or do we feel it? We're going to recognize the patterns, the triggers, and the root causes, not this week, that have eluded us when we've taken other paths. And so we're going to look at what that's like, what that means. And it's important to note that feeling the feeling is not wallowing in the feeling. It's not overreacting. It's not letting it dictate your actions. You are feeling it. It means giving yourself the emotional space to understand the feeling and then decide the best course of action based on having felt the feeling. Because when you feel it, you're going to heal it. And it's not the easiest path. It isn't. But the path leads to the most profound changes that you will experience and will lead to lasting transformation and emotional well-being. So as we wrap up this episode, I promise I'm trying to keep it short. Are you ready to take the courageous act of first awareness? And next, we're going to feel the feelings. The rewards are invaluable. And we're going to get to a point where I think it's in 3 weeks. I can't remember the schedule, but we're going to also talk about how we react to our children's emotions, because often how we react to our own is how we react to our children's emotions. And this has been the hardest work I have ever done. And it's requiring me to do the work on myself. So I just invite you to explore. We are going to become more resilient and emotionally intelligent together, sweet friends. We're going to enrich our lives, not just our lives, but the lives of those around us, the lives that we care about. So if you want to dig deeper in this, I'm going to record a YouTube video on how I avoid my feelings and what that looks like. So I'm going to upload this to YouTube, but I'm also going to record an additional episode. So the next time you have an emotion, I want you to look at what path you are choosing. Because often, sweet friends, it doesn't even feel like we're choosing the path. So just notice with compassion and love in your heart. Okay, sweet friends, until next time, take care. Have a great and courageous week, sweet friends. I'm so thankful you were here. And I'll see you next week. Thanks. Bye.